The content of this podcast is provided for general informational purposes only and is not intended as, nor should it be considered a substitute for, professional medical advice.
Sweaty and pissed, menopause makes me sweaty and pissed.
That kills me every time.
I know.
Welcome to Sweaty and Pissed, Menopause and More. I'm Leanne Morgan, comedian.
And I'm Karen Nickel, nurse practitioner. We're glad to have you back to listen to more info about menopause and more.
I know. And people have been so sweet. Thank you to everyone who has given us so much love out there.
Yeah. We've had some really nice comments from people on Facebook and
Instagram.
And lots of questions, which we're going to try to address in this episode, right?
Right.
So.
Well, you are.
You can do the relating part.
Okay.
Okay. So we had one question we had on Facebook was from a woman who said, you know, if I go to my provider, my doctor, my practitioner, what do I ask for? What do I say? What do I need to do in that visit? First of all, I want to say that, you know, your provider will have obviously questions for you and information that they really need to help you. But there are some really important things that are helpful to your practitioner in terms of helping you. And that one is, really identifying what your symptoms are. Of course, that person, your practitioner, can always try to drag it out of you, but it is helpful to have a list of symptoms. And with hormonal imbalance symptoms, we think often about hot flashes and night sweats and vaginal dryness, and we've talked a lot about that thus far on our podcasts. But there are a lot of symptoms that happen that people don't really associate with hormonal imbalance. So I wanted to give you a list of some of those, and I will put this on our website so that if you want to print it out and check off which things you have and take them to your provider, you can do that. So of course we talked about hot flashes, night sweats. The other thing that happens with that is a lot of people alternate between feeling clammy and cold and being hot. They'll go back and forth. Some people get palpitations or regular heartbeats. And
You're jingling because of your Halloween costume.
Oh, see.
Which, let me tell people, she's in a skeleton outfit. And I think that's really what her bones look like. I bet you. And that makes sense because you're medical. That you wore a skeleton. But she's got on darling bracelets that have got orange and black and white, and because she's so festive and fun, and she's a performer.
And let me say that these bracelets were designed and made by Stephen Brown of Glitterville.
Did he?
Who did our artwork.
A bad mama jamma.
Yes, and he did our artwork for our podcast, and all that jingling you heard.
And let's talk about, real quick, how he whatever he does for Oprah's magazine and Anthropology. And I mean, what all does he do?
Yeah.
He's unbelievable.
Yeah. He's an amazing artist and creative person and marketer. I mean, just really so talented. You know, I first met Stephen because he worked with the opera company, because he did opera costume design.
Oh.
And he worked for, did the costuming for, if he ever listens to this, he's like, no, Karen, that's wrong. But it was a soap opera. And I was thinking it was Young and the Restless, but I may be wrong. But anyway, he did costumes and set design for soap opera for a long time. And then he went on tour and did costumes with Mariah Carey. I know, he's really quite prolific.
He then began
a company called Glitterville, and you can find him at glitterville.com, and designed and produced Halloween ornaments. It started out with ornaments and then Christmas ornaments. And then he had a,
and they're unbelievable.
Yeah, and then he ended up with a textile line and a fabric line, a porcelain line, a furniture line. Yeah, it's tremendous. And so he does some work for Oprah, doing her
magazine
costuming and set things for her photo shoots for the magazine, her O magazine.
Did our graphics. That's unbelievable.
I know.
We were lucky to.
I know. He was very kind and generous to do that for us.
Yeah, so, he's making me sweat on it.
Yeah.
And you're thin.
And
but anyway. Yeah. But I didn't know he did bracelets too, but that was a jingle, jingle, jingle.
That's what all that noise was. So
okay.
I apologize. I bet all those menopausal women were having a hard time staying focused with all that going on. So now where was I?
Because of their ADD symptoms, which I had. I've had so far heart palpitations, and I had them. You were talking about heart palpitations,
very
and I
good.
Thought I was having a heart attack.
See, you think you have foggy thinking. You
well, I do, but well. I drank a protein shake this morning. So I think I've got more focus because I didn't eat gluten. But, okay, heart palpitations, had them. Awful.
Palpitations, feeling of irregular heartbeat, and a lot of women get... cardiology workups when they're moving into menopause, and well, they should if they're having cardiac symptoms, heart symptoms, but oftentimes the cardiac work will be completely negative, and the cardiologist will say, I think it's your hormones. So,
yeah,
because it's fairly common. So trouble sleeping, loss of sex drive, pain during intercourse, really sudden and pretty severe fatigue. The foggy thinking we talked about, joint muscle pain, anxiety, depression. Some people get a feeling of dread or...
Should you just take people out in the yard and shoot them? I had all these symptoms. I can't believe I lived to tell it. And I still have hope, but it was because of you. But I had all that.
I know.
Oh,
yeah.
Murder.
So difficulty concentrating, that's where we get those sort of ADD symptoms. Or if we have ADD tendencies, they tend to get a lot worse. Disorientation, confusion, aches, pains, joint pain. This is another one that I think I haven't mentioned before, and I hear quite a few people complain of, is itchy and crawly skin. And so
I'm miserable. And you think you're having a heart attack.
Yeah.
And you want to kill your husband.
Yeah.
And sex is painful. And you can't think. You end up in the driveway when you're trying to clean a closet out.
That's right. You get weight gain.
Oh.
Hair loss. I know. It's just incredible.
It's horrible.
Some people get gum disease.
Let me just say that I went to Karen, I had my checkup, and we just get so tickled that we cannot, and you still doctor
yes.
me.
Yeah, but I try to remain professional.
I know, but we get so tickled
it's
and
hard.
Have a ball.
It's really hard. yeah, so, and other mouth symptoms, we get burning tongue, dry
what?
Mouth, burning mouth.
I don't think I had that one.
Yeah.
Oh, how horrible.
Fingernail changes. Dry, brittle
yes.
fingernails, ear ringing.
Yes. Ear ringing.
Yeah, I know. It's bloating. Get a lot
bloating.
Of abdominal symptoms, worsening constipation and bloating. So it feels like...
The world is over.
Every system is involved, and because every system is involved, because we have receptor sites for all our hormones on every cell in our body. So, it affects so many things. So I'll post this list so that you can go through and check all the things that you're experiencing. Hopefully it's not all of these, but a lot of people have coming with a lot of these symptoms.
I bet you I had about 90%.
Yeah, it's pretty... Well, and it also depends on how soon you get help. I mean, obviously, the longer you get into it, the further you get into it in terms of time, the more symptoms you're likely to have. So, So those are all those. And the things I would say about what to do at an appointment.
Okay.
Because I know when you came in, I think you had quite a few symptoms that you were aware of. But then when I started asking more questions, you realized there were a lot more things that you were experiencing that you weren't aware of, you weren't aware was related to perimenopause. Yeah.
And I thought I was sick with something bad.
Yeah, you thought, you were waiting for a really bad diagnosis.
I did. I thought I couldn't put one foot in front of the other.
Well, when you list all those symptoms, it all sounds not so good.
I know. And right before that, I felt like $1 million and was exercising every day and eating right and, you know, probably about 45 years old and still had hope and was big and, you know, running with my career, had drive in all walks of life. But I was going and doing along. And then all of a sudden I thought, what is that?
Yeah.
Cause fatigue that overtook me.
Yeah. That's what I would, what I was saying in that list is sort of crashing fatigue. I mean, just, yeah, something, some big tumor has to be taking all your energy because it's so overwhelming, how tired you can get when your hormones get out of whack.
And I kept telling people, and they would just say, no, you're depressed. No, you're this, you're that. And I'd be like, I am depressed, but I couldn't poop, couldn't. Stay awake, up all night. We
could go through.
Buy a hairpiece. Yes,
oh,
I
okay, hairpiece.
Yeah. Big hairpiece, which is beautiful, by the way. And if you need a good hairpiece, get a halo. But yes, I was losing hair and wads. Could not go to the bath. Could not poop. Mm-hmm. Could not poop.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think when you look at that list of symptoms, so many of them are the same symptoms as we see in somebody who has depression. So I think many perimenopausal and menopausal women get put on antidepressants, and I'm not saying they shouldn't have that kind of treatment, but it often could be managed with getting hormones balanced.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, but I can see why when you go in to see a practitioner and you list all those things, it ticks all the boxes for depression. So not sleeping, all that. Don't feel like yourself. Have no motivation.
Mm-hmm.
Those are all, and especially when estrogen drops, it gets particularly bad.
Oh, and my numbers said the other day that mine have plummeted again. Tell me I'm still fertile at 53. Because I told somebody last night when I had a show, I told his mom out in the audience that I would have a baby for him. And I said, I'm only 53, but I'll leave that baby at Target by accident. But I said, I'm still fertile. I've been so proud of that. Is that gone now?
Well, for the moment, yes. As of your labs the other day, yes.
Oh, well, shoot.
Well.
Okay. Well, I was feeling so with my chest out.
Well, and that's also what can happen is, the hormones really drop and then the ovaries sort of rekindle and start secreting again and then they drop again. So, early in menopause, we can have that on again, off again secretion of the hormones. So,
have you seen a lot of women have a baby in that time? By accident?
Oh, by accident? No. No. Well, at least my patients, they're so fearful of that happening that we do everything in our power to make sure that that doesn't happen. So, yeah.
Okay.
So, like, even if a perimenopausal woman has an IUD, oftentimes they'll be extremely anxious about discontinuing that, having that removed until they know, that they're menopause. And so I do serial labs looking at the FSH. And of course, if they're not having periods and they have repeated FSH levels that are high indicating that she's remaining in menopause, then, after we've had a year or two that we end up taking the IUD out.
Yeah.
But it takes some reassurance and careful planning. So, yeah. And you can understand why.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So, not that having a baby would be terrible, but it'd be hard.
It'd be hard.
53, 54.
Oh, yeah, yeah, it would. With all that, your hair falling out and you can't sleep and you're sleeping during the day and you're...
Yeah.
And it's, can't poop. You know, it's good night.
Much higher risk for the mother and the baby, too. So,
yeah.
Yeah. So if you, when you're going in for an appointment, say you make an appointment and say, gosh, I got all these symptoms, you know, what should I do? I would say bring in a list of your symptoms. And when those symptoms started, how long you've had them, how severe they are. Also, you know, how frequent they are occurring. Is it every day? Is it once a week? And then it's also helpful to make sure that your practitioner is aware of all of your family history and personal medical history as well. I mean, do you have a family history of cancer, of cardiovascular disease, of clotting disorders? Do you have a personal history of any of those things? 'Cause that influences our guidance in terms of whether you're a candidate for hormones or what the options are to keep your risk as low as possible. I would also say that you want to let them know how you felt on any previous hormonal treatments. If you've had any, how did you do on birth control pills? Mm-hmm. Were you a mess when you got birth control pills started? Did you take a progestin-only birth control like Depo-Provera? And how did you do on that? Or if you've been on other HRT, if you're already menopausal and you're currently on or have been on other HRT, how did you do on that? What were the good things, the bad things? I would also ask what to expect when you start HRT. If the two of you have decided you want to proceed with starting on HRT, you know, what can I expect? How soon will my symptoms relieve? And also, how often am I going to have follow-up? How do you manage my symptoms? The dosing, do you manage it just based on symptoms? Do you manage it based on symptoms and blood tests, saliva tests? You know, what is the management process so I can get best relief of my symptoms? Mm-hmm. So those are all... And the other thing I would say, because you're likely to be on HRT for a while, is what kind of cost is involved in what I'm going to do? Am I going to be able to remain on whatever program you recommend? Mm-hmm. Am I financially able to sustain that over a long term? So those are all things that are helpful for the practitioner to best treat you and in the safest, most efficacious, and cost-effective way.
If a woman is living out in the middle of, I don't know where, Georgia, say, and she, I'm just...
Hi, Georgia.
Hey, Georgia. And she does not know who to go to.
Yeah.
How do you find somebody that knows how to do this? Because not everybody does.
Right. Well, I guess it depends on what you're looking for. If you're looking for someone who specifically does compounded bioidentical hormones, and I'll just speak to that briefly. Bioidentical hormones are hormones that are identical molecularly to the hormones that your body makes. Compounded hormones are hormones that are made up by a compounding pharmacy based on the practitioner's prescription specifications. And the beauty of compounding is we can customize the dose to an infinite degree. And there are a lot of different forms to use to replace hormones in terms of like capsules or creams or drops or troches, which are little lozenges. So there are a lot of ways that we can get the hormones to you by using compounding. And we can use the lowest dose possible to relieve your symptoms. We don't have three or four doses from which to choose. Mm-hmm. One of the ways you can find someone who does that kind of work is to call your area compounding pharmacy and say, prescribing this and who's doing a good job of it? Because compounders know what's appropriate and mm-hmm. what is sort of out there in terms of dosing. And so that's often a good way to start and see who in the area is providing that service.
Oh, that's wonderful, because people have messaged me and said, how in the world did you find her? And I found you in another way, but my compound pharmacy people think you are Elvis. And they're like, we anything she says, Lynn, do it. We love her. And they think you're so smart. Well, and I love my compound pharmacy people.
Yeah. So, and they know, I mean, they're very knowledgeable about what they do. I mean, a good compounding pharmacist, I try to use compounding pharmacists who are, use PCCA products and are trained through that organization. And so they can be a very good resource in terms of finding a provider who's doing that kind of HRT.
Oh, good. That is wonderful. Yeah. Okay.
So like in the middle of Georgia, you may have to go to, you know, might have to travel into Atlanta or near Atlanta or, you know, someplace a more metropolitan area. But you never know.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I was doing compounding when I was practicing in Sweetwater, Tennessee. So, and there was there's a great compounding pharmacy right there in Sweetwater.
Oh, wow.
So you never know what you're going to stumble into.
I know. Years ago, a bunch of women would get in a car and drive to Atlanta and was trying to get pellets put in their butt.
Yeah. And there's
And everybody's like, there's some man down in Atlanta that'll put pellets in your butt. But, you know, everybody just felt so desperate.
Mm-hmm.
But now there are probably more and more people who know about hormones.
Right. And we have, you know, several practices in our area who... And again, I think we talked about this earlier, but that our wellness practices are cash-based practices, so they're not taking insurance. But sometimes that's what's available in terms of getting a compounded product.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's the big thing in California.
Oh, I know. Oh, you mean
cash
the wellness? Oh, yeah.
The wellness. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's happening more and more with, you know, as insurance changes and we get big deductibles and, you know, people are willing to pay out of pocket for some wellness things because, you know, their insurance isn't going to cover it because they've got a $5,000 deductible. So, yeah, there are a lot of changes coming with healthcare, I'm sure.
Oh, me.
Yeah.
Okay. Are we getting close to the...
We are. Oh, but do you want to... I think we covered all the questions and symptoms that would be good to take in to an appointment. And I hope that answered the question for one of our Facebook listeners. And do you want to share one of our reviews from iTunes?
Yes, I would. You know, my love language is... words of affirmation.
And here
and
they
so
are.
This is, okay, let me see. Somebody said, just a nursing said, thank you. So entertaining, informative, and just downright hilarious. Much love from Dandridge, Tennessee.
Oh.
I know, sweet.
Yeah, and someone else said, love this podcast, makes me laugh, and makes me feel better to hear that a lot of what I've been experiencing might just be unbalanced hormones. Thanks, ladies.
Okay, here is cannot say enough good things about this podcast. Lynn is her genuine, hilarious self, and Karen brings sound advice and guidance. Rare to find such a win-win. What?
There it is. You're win and I'm win. Awesome. We're so glad that you're all listening and glad to hear that it's being helpful and fun at the same time.
I
right,
know,
Lynn?
I know. Everywhere I go, people are stopping me going, oh my gosh, I love it, or messaging us. So that's good. And I'm out on the road doing shows, mm-hmm. and I've been a lot of different states, and I've got a lot of different dates coming up in California, Oregon.
Oh, good.
Mississippi, all over. And I try to get the word out about our podcast. So please share with people,
yes.
and get on there and subscribe.
Yes.
And
comment and rate us. That would be fantastic.
That would.
We would appreciate it.
And like us on Facebook.
Yes. We're there. And check the website for my list that I gave you today.
Oh,
okay.
I know. Yay.
All right. Well, I will see you soon.
Okay.
Thanks, everybody.
Bye. Sweaty and pissed.